Here, six.
Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, Bir Halacha, and Halacha Ma'aseh, and also we'll do the Shita Tarama. We'll try. First of all, before we start, after Shir yesterday, Charlie had raised the question about the rush of carrying out the Tinaim, because you can't leave them whole because there's nobody to watch him. So he said, he asked the question, it sounds like that why aren't you leaving him home? Because you're worried about him if you would leave him home. And so that means a daiga, that there's a heter of hoitzoa mishum daiga, and the Rosh seems not to say that way. The Rosh quotes the Yushalmi, that there is no heter by mafteach shel kelim or mafteach shel mos, only by mafteach shel nefesh. So I thought afterwards that you don't have to say that he's carrying out the tinos because he's worried. He's carrying out the tinos because of the needs of the tinos. The din of tzayvach of eichel nefesh or mitayich is left after for your own needs of eichel nefesh or mitayich. If I carry something for somebody else because they need it, right? Because they need, that also comes under the heter of oichal nefesh, right? If I bring food to someone else, or I'm carrying a sefer for somebody else, so that's also a heter of mitaych. So over here, when you're carrying out the tinok, not to leave the tinok home, it's not because of your worry, but because it's a tzorech of the tinok that you carry out the child, right? You take the child with you. So that's how we can understand the rush. Now, in terms of the Psak Halacha, the Mechaber in Tufkov Yudchet Sevalov brings down the din of Mitaych, and the Mitaych is Mota Shalom Litzorech, like a cotton, lulav, sefer Torah, kelim, but avonim v'kayot v'hem or also. And the Ramah inserts in the Shulchan Aruch that when we refer to kelim, it's kelim hatzvichim lo ketzas amoto, o shenisyare shelo yignovu, or you're afraid that they might be stolen, or any other kind of hefsid. And then he said that you're even allowed to play kadur, right, to play ball in Rishus HaRavim, even though it's only like a teal va'al. So the bir halacha there, and the Mishnah Berurah, and the bir halacha based on the earlier poskim, they, the Bir Halacha points out, of course, that there's a machlokes rishonim in terms of mitaych. According to Tosfos and the Rosh, you need a tzorech hayom ketzas. According to Rashi and the Rif and the Rambam, right? The Ran says the Rif is like Rashi Shita, and the Magen Mishnah says that the Rambam is also like Rashi Shita. So then it's going to be mota even shalol the tzorech klal, but there's going to be an issa derabbanan by avonim. This we discussed already. The Ran says that everything shelo b'tzorech klal is going to be mota except avonim. When the Gemara says avonim is also, that's also midrabbanan according to Rashi Shita. But any other hoitzor shelo b'tzorech klal, the rabbanan didn't answer. They answered avonim because avonim is muksa. Avonim is something which is the type of thing that a person doesn't need. It's a muksa machlas gufo, and therefore midrabbanan. They asked Avon. The Beit Yosef, however, understands Rashi that midrabon and it's also any hoitzor shelo litzarekla, any hoitzor shelo litzarekla, lav dafka avoni, lav dafka muksa, but any hoitzor shelo litzarekla is going to be also midrabonin, and that's the way. I'm just pointing out the major points in the Bir Halacha, and that's the way it seems on Tosfos. Tosfos understood Rashi that way, that midrabbanan, any haitzor shelo litzorech klal is asa, not only avonim, and that's what's mashma from Rashi himself, because Rashi on Yud Beis on the day Divi Amaso Havora, Rashi says that that Havora shelo litzorech is muta min hatayra, mashma from Rashi that midrabbanan is going to be asa. So that's the machlokes rishonim. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So here we have a machlokes between the mechaber and the Rama. Right? The mechaber seems to be paskining like Rashi. And why did he paskin that way? Because the mechaber follows two out of three of the rishonim, the Rif, Rambam, and Rosh. And over here, Rif and Rambam both hold like Rashi Shita. So Shalol Tzorech Klal is going to be Mota, and that's why the mechaber points out that Kelim Mota Shalol Tzorech. Only Avonim, he says, Avonim or Kedayne are going to be Yotzer. The Ramah passes like Tesis in the Rosh, that you need a Tzorech Hayayim Kitzas. Except the Ramah says that if you're afraid it shouldn't be stolen, that's considered to be a Tzorech Hayayim Kitzas. But you need a Tzorech Hayayim Kitzas. Says the Bir Halacha, the very Bir Halacha encompasses everything. It's such an important Bir Halacha, puts everything together. The Bir Halacha says it's very difficult on the Mechaber. If the Mechaber is paskening like Rashi, that Shalom Letzorech Klal is going to be Mutter, and only Avonim, which are Muksa, is also, so then we don't understand the Mechaber in Siv Beis. Because in Siv Beis, the Mechaber says, you're not allowed to carry out Letzorech Nochri. Right? You can't carry out Letzorech Nochri. So if you, according to Rashi, however, that Shalom Letzorech Klal is Mutter, and it's only Dafka Avonim which the Rabbanan asked, so why is it also to carry out Letzorech Nochri? It seems to be a steer in the Mechaber from Tzipala to Tziv Beis. Unless we say, and this we've discussed before, right? Unless we say it's a special Zeres HaKosel, like Shita Mekubetza said, special Zeres HaKosel, Lachem Velo La'akum, which asked Akum, even according to Rashi. Right? That's the Gzeret HaKosov, that Akum, the Zgorah, is Zgorah Tzvei. So the Bir Halacha suggests that in the Mechaber, but that's a little difficult because the Beis Yosef never brought down such a Shita. So therefore, the Bir Halacha is more inclined to say that the Mechaber actually holds, Paskins like Rashi Shita, but he holds that version in Rashi that midrabbanan everything is also shalol letzorech klal, not only abonim, but they answer across the board anything which is shalol letzorech klal is going to be also. Therefore, the mechaber can paskin you're not allowed to carry out letzorech nochri for a goy because that's considered to be shalol letzorech klal, but it'll only be an issa derabbanan, not an issa deraisa. That's how the Bir Halacha understands the Shita and the Mechaber. But bottom line, the Mechaber is paskening like Shita's Rashi, because that's the Shita of the Rif, in the Ram. Right? Whereas the Ramah paskens like Tosis and the Rosh. And the Bir Halacha is Mitama. He wonders on the Shita of the Mechaber. Why does he pasken like Rashi Shita? After all, when you look through Rishayim, the vast majority of Rishonim hold like Shitas Tosis and the Rosh, right? The vast majority, right? There are only a few Rishonim who hold like Rashi. He gives a long list, right? The Rach, Rabbi Notam, the Rivor, the Ita, the Smag, the Rizor, the Rash, the Ramban, the Ra'or, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Me'iri, the Maram Chalapa, and more, right? So why did the Mechaber pass him like Rashi Shita, especially since it's not so clear that the Rif learns like Rashi, and it's not so clear that the Rambam is like Rashi, right? The Magen Mishnah understood the Rambam like Rashi. It's not Mukhruch in the Rambam like Rashi. Pri Chodesh learns that the Rambam holds like Tosis and the Rosh, that you need a Tzorech HaYom Tzah. And in the Rif, the Ran himself was mistopic in the Rif. The Ran first said the Rif is like Tosis in the Rosh, that you need a Tzorech HaYom Tzav, and then he says, no, but maybe the Rif is Noite, in the Neti of the Rif is that is like Rashi Shita. And you have all of these other Rishonim who hold that, like Tosis in the Rosh, that you need a Tzorech HaYom Tzav. And therefore, the Bir Halacha comes out that Lehalacha, certainly we have to be Machmir. I guess he means even Svardim. The Ramah holds like Tosis in the Rosh, but even Svardim should be Machmir, that you need a Tzorech HaYom Tzas, and that's how the Yamshu Shlomo paskin as well. So that's one bir halacha in terms of being mevayer the machlokes, the psak halacha of the mechaber and the rima. There's another very important bir halacha, a few very important bir halachas here. The other bir halacha is on sefer Torah. You carry out a sefer Torah because there is the rima says because there is a it's a mitzvah sayyim. Kriyas Torah is a mitzvah sayyim. Talmud Torah is a mitzvah sayyim, right? Because only a mush sefer Torah is a mitzvah, right? But yisavo yomim v'layla, so that's considered to be a mitzvah sayyim. However, what happens if you have a mitzvah which is not a Torah Hayom, what we spoke about yesterday, right? So the Bir Halacha sums it up very, 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 very bikitzur, right? When you have a mitzvah which is not a mitzvah Hayom, what is the din? Is there going to be a heder? For instance, like Sreikas Chomets, Mila Shalobi Zmana, Sreikas Kotshin, right? These are all mitzvahs, but they're not mitzvahs Hayom. They're not the doctor designated and specific to the day of Yontif. So the Bir Halacha says that the Mordechai, the Maral Chalav Im Sochim, the Ritva Im Sochim hold that there's no heter. There's no heter. And if a person will do those mitzvahs, which are not mitzvahs Hayyim, so then he'll be Chayav Malkus. There's no heter of Midaych. By Mila Shula Bizmana, by Sefer Kochim, he'll be Chayav Malkus. Right? And because it's not a mitzvah hashayich layoim, it's a mitzvah that could be done the day before, like Mila Shalom Bizmana, or it's a mitzvah that can be done the day after, like Srefas Kotshin. Srefas Kotshin be done before or after, depending on when the Kotshin became Noiser or became Tameh. So if it's not a mitzvah hayoim, so there is no heter based on mitzvah. However, he does bring the Me'iri that we saw. Right? We saw the Me'iri, that the Me'iri says, he is said by Oilas Nedova. We're going to deal with this more tomorrow with the Mekoyrins, but the Me'iri said that if you have a mitzvah, you have Mili Dishmaya, even though it's not a mitzvah Hayoim, right, there's no lav. There's not going to be Malkus. There's Isura Bialma. It's still going to be also, but there's no Malkus. And that's the Shita of the Baal HaMor as well. Something like a case of Eilas Nedova, where it's not a mitzvah Hayyim, you don't have to bring it today, right? And but it is Mile Dishmaya, it is a mitzvah of Hakrovet Karvin. So the according to the Me'iri and the Baal HaMor, and we saw one day in the Rashba as well, it's going to be Asur, but it's not going to be Malkus, because first it is a mitzvah. Yeah.
Didn't we see also the Yerim said that it's Mutter Gamer? He said the only three psukim of Mila Shalom Bizman and other things are those exeris kasa that they're aser.
Right.
Everyone else is mutter, everything else is mutter. I mean, because it's hanos hanefesh.
Hanos haneshama. So that's the mutter. Hanos haneshama. Yeah, so. I'm not sure if the Urim is specifically those three, and I have to take a look again at the Urim. Okay, but that's the machlokes by a mitzvah shalom izmana. Then the halacha also points out mitzvah derabbanan is considered to be we apply mitzvah by a mitzvah derabbanan like Tosfos in Sukkos. However, I mentioned the Shagasaye argues on that. The Shagasaye has two whole simonim in Shagasaye where he says that you're not allowed to carry out with soirech mitzvah derabbanan. What's the example? A few examples. To carry out a shofar, let's say, for the tzairech of Tekiyat the Ma'umot. You already heard Tekiyat the Miyushot, you were yet to the mitzvah derayat of shofar, and you're carrying out the shofar only for the Tekiyat the Ma'umot during Musaf. That's only the Rabbani. Shagatai Hod, you're not allowed. Right? Same thing by Nanuim. If you were yet saying Lulot and Esrog at home, right, and you get to the mitzvah deraisa, and now you're taking it to shul only because of the nanuim during Hallel. Shagatai says you're not allowed to. That's not called the tzeirech hayyim. He quotes the tesis in Surahs, but he argues on that tesis. He has the right to argue on the tesis. Shagatai is big enough, but he argues on tesis. But that's very difficult. Very difficult. Ramesha has a long tshuva in which Ramesha argues on the Shagatai. The Shagatai is brought down in the Shari Tshuva in Tuf Kuf Pei Tes. And Rav Moshe has a long tshuva in which he argues on the Shayas Aryeh, and he says, no, that the mitzvah d'avonin is not worse than any other tzorech, than teal ba'alma. If you're allowed to be metayel, to carry out something for teal ba'alma, so certainly for a mitzvah d'avonin. That's the Taisa's Nisut. But you should know that there is such a Shayas Aryeh. I think the Shayas Aryeh, I haven't seen in a while, but I think the Shayas Aryeh says, also for the mitzvah chinuch, to carry out a lulav and nefer of a shofar, the mitzvah chinuch, which is only mitzvah rabbanon, you wouldn't be allowed to, because any mitzvah rabbanon, there's no heter, it's not considered to be a tzorech hayom. Of course, that's only if we, the way we passed in, like Taisa's in the Rosh, that you need a tzorech hayom kitzah. So this is the Shayas Aryeh held, and mitzvah d'rabbanan is not defined as a tzorech hayom kitzah. However, if you learn like Rashi, writ in the Rambam, that you don't need a tzorech hayom klal, you don't need a tzorech hayom klal, so then you're not going to say by a mitzvah d'rabbanan that it's going to be us. It's only according to the Bir Halacha points that out as well. Okay, that's as far as the Bir Halacha. Yeah. I don't know. It depends. If you say that Rashi holds anything shelo the tzorech hayom klal they answer, I don't know if they would. And you hold like the Shayas Aryeh that a mitzvah de rabbanan is not considered to be a tzorech hayom kitzah, would they answer it? Would the rabbanan answer? I don't know. I doubt it. But there's no proof. There's no proof either way. Okay. Mishnah Brura, couple important Mishnah Brurahs for Halacha L'Maaseh. The Mishnah Brurah talks about the Rama Paskins that you're allowed to carry out something that you're afraid it'll get stolen. So the Mishnah Brurah says that according to the Rama, you'd be allowed to carry out a key for a teva of mo, for a safe that contains money, in order to prevent the hefzid momin. But however, the Yamsha Shlomo and the Taz disagree with them. They hold that that's not considered to be a tzorech hayoyim kitzah. So this we discussed at great length already. But the Mishnah Brura brings down this machloikas, and the paskins like the Taz, that the one should be machmir on this, and not carry out anything that you don't really need on Yontav. It's only because your fear that it might get ruined or it might get stolen. One should be machmir on that. And he says, especially if you could give the key to a neighbor. If you can give the key to a neighbor, you can give the kalim, let's say you have something, a precious stone, right? And you're afraid to leave it in the house that might get stolen, right? And if you can give it to, you can give it to a neighbor or to an ishneman, or you can lock it up in such a way that there's no fear that it'll get stolen, then absolutely, kula kulei alma, everyone would agree that you wouldn't be allowed to carry out that key. In other words, if you have a neighbor, right, you have a neighbor that you can give the key to the safe to, and rather than carry it into the Rishus HaRavim, on Yontav, everyone, even the Ramo would agree to that, that you wouldn't be allowed to carry it out, because then you have no fear, you have no daika, you have no daika anymore. The whole heter is because of your fear, because of your worry, and if you don't have that daika, there's no heter to carry it. You get mafus, it'll be an issur d'oraisa, it's not a tzorech, it's not considered to be a tzorech hayom kitzah. Right? And this raises an interesting issue. Very interesting issue. Let's say I have a Gemara I could in shul. I could learn from a sefer that the shul has that sefer. I want to bring my own sefer. Right? I don't need my own sefer. I could learn from that sefer. Talis. Bring a talis to shul on Yom Kippur. Right? Should you wear your talis in the street? Or can you carry your talis? You could have brought the talis or the sefer before Yom Kippur, right? Before Yom Kippur. Are you allowed to carry? Are you allowed to leave your talis at home until Yom Kippur morning, right? When you had an alternative, you had another solution, right? That you could have brought it before Yom Kippur.
Not a hechshim.
What?
Not a hechshim.
Okay. So that's
not a daiga.
What?
Not a daiga.
So that's going to be mota. That's clear. You can carry your talis to shul. You don't have to wear it to shul. On the way back, it might be that's already another story. But taking it to shul, you can carry it to shul, you can carry a sefer to shul that you want to learn from, even though they might have the same sefer in shul. Why is that? Why don't we say, but you don't have to do it, you could avoid the malacha of hoitzor. What's the answer?
It's
hutra. Because oichel nefesh, right, or mitoich, is a getter of hutra, right? And therefore, even if it's efshem me'erev yontiv, by oichel nefesh, that's the difference between machshirin and oichel nefesh, right? By machshiri oichel nefesh, if it's efshem me'erev yontiv, you have no hefet to do it on yontiv. But by oichel nefesh asmoi, right, you can do it on yontiv, even though you could have done it before yontiv, right? You can cook on yontiv, even though you could have cooked before yontiv. We'll deal with that issue much more a little later on. But that's clear that by chutzor, even though you could have brought it before yontiv, or you could wear it to shul, right? You're allowed to carry it, right? But yet the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah say that by the key, no hefta. If you have an alternative, you can give it to a neighbor, right? You have no hefta. The same thing would apply, lichayra, if you have a combination lock and you have a key lock on your door, right? And you could use the combination lock, right? So do you have a hefet to carry out the key on your door?
No.
If you could use what?
No.
You wouldn't have a hefet.
Because you have a key right there?
Because you have a combination lock, right? That you don't.
Much either.
No.
Your foot in the house.
What?
Your foot in the house.
Yeah, foot in the house. Yeah, but even.
No, but you can leave the key there, then there's no reason to carry.
What's the reason to carry? Okay. Well, maybe food is different. Maybe food is, but you can lock it up. You can lock it the same way, right?
Yeah,
you can protect it the
like
same way.
Like a safer house. You don't have to have it.
Okay. Let me think about the key, the key of the house, because there is food over there. But the key to the safe is clearly if you have an alternative, right? So you have no hefta. What's the difference? By the talis, where you have an alternative, you still have a hefta to carry it, right? But by the key, where you have an alternative,
no.
You have no hefta. What's the difference between them? What? Well, I wouldn't say dechuya. But what's the? It's not dechuya. It's a, if you say it's mutter because of mitoch.
Right.
It's not the chuyah.
Isn't it just
right?
A question of how you paskin though?
What?
Isn't it just a question of how you paskin? Like he has two shitas, and so you're saying.
No, he's saying in the case, you know, it's a machlekes the remor against the Yamsha Shlom and the Taz.
Right.
In the case where you have an alternative, you could leave it by a neighbor. You can leave the key by a neighbor. Lukuli Alma. Even the remor would agree that you have no hefta to carry it out. That's the Mishnah Berurah. It's based on the Taz, and we just read that line. In the Mishnah, and in the middle of Tifkot and Vav on page 45, so he says in the parentheses, "Befrat the makom sheyuchal limtzar hakelim or mateach v'nishu nemon lo beveitzo does also ledivrei hakol." That's also even according to the Ramah. So though the Ramah holds that daiga is considered to be a tzayra kitzas, and you can say mitaych, but that's only when you have no alternative. You have no neighbors you can give the key to. Then you're allowed, according to the Ramah, you're allowed to carry out the key, right? Even though the Mishnah Berurah passes against the Ramah, right? But he's saying that even the Ramah would hold that if you have somebody you can give the key to, an Ishneman, so then you have no hefta to carry it out. So the question is, why is that different than the case of the Talis? Well, you have an alternative. You don't have to carry the Talis or the Sefer. And yet we say over there, we're going to say a din of mitoich over there. So what's the answer?
It's a shear and daiga. I mean, if you really daiga, only if you have daiga already, then can you solve it.
If you can solve that, when you're using this thing, that the talus or the safety, you're going to be using it, right? And that's why you're allowed to carry it out based on mitoich. So if I want to use it, right, I want to use this safe, I want to carry this out, we don't say if you have an alternative, you're not allowed to. But over here, I'm not using anything. It's only because of daiga, right? And we see there's a big machlokes haposkim, where the daiga is considered to be a tzorech hayoyim kitzas. So So the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah say that since there's no positive, again, a tzoyre chiyuvi, I'm not going to be using it, I just want to be misalig that daiga, right? So it's a tzorech shlili, to remove that daiga. If you have another way of removing that daiga, right, by giving the key to a neighbor, so then you have no heter. So that, but that's very different than a case of carrying out the talis or the sefer, where I want to use the talis or the talis or the sefer, and therefore, even though I have an alternative, I could have brought before yontif, I could wear the talis. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that on yontif. That's already a gather of that's a gather of chutra because there's a tzorech chiyuvi.
In normal cases, like going back to what Charlie was talking about, let's say for example you want to take a sefer to shul, and we say it's even mutter to take it back because it's your assumption from tefillah,
right?
So there, well, why do you have to take it? Why don't you take it back? I mean, just keep it there. And
then we'll talk about that right
diet.
Now.
Isn't that also?
Yeah, no. So that's to take the sefer to shul and take it back, or to take the talis to shul, or the lulav and esrog to shul, and you're allowed to take it back. The Rosh says because the hitiyah sofer mishum chilos, and then we pass him this way. Mishnah Berurah brings down that psak. Hitiyah sofer mishum chilos. Why do you want to leave it in shul? Because you're worried something will happen to it. But that's not daiga. That's the principle of hitiyah sofer mishum chilos means. If I wouldn't bring it in the first place to use it in shul if I know I can't bring it home. So therefore, the daiga over there, the bringing home, is not because, it's not a heter based on daiga. It's a heter on bringing it in the first place. Because since I need it in shul, and I wouldn't bring it if I have daiga, so therefore, the tchila is matir the sof.
Say the same sfora in another case. Let's say if I want to leave the house for whatever reason, I want to take a trip. If I don't want to leave the safe, like you know, just sitting there, then anyone can steal it. So let me take the key, because this way, it's basically Torah for me to be able to walk around and enjoy myself.
Yeah,
why
but
is it the same sfora?
I'm using the chetza. Over there, where I'm taking a chetza that I'm going to use, right? But I won't take it. I need it in shul. But I won't take it there if I can't bring it back. That's the principle he tells us from Mishum Chilos. So the heter of bringing it in the first place is matir returning it, right? But over here, by the key, it's there's no tzorech at all in the key. I'm carrying the melacha of hayitzah on the key is only because of daiga. It's not because I need the key. I just don't want to leave it home because I have a daiga. That's not a he tells us from Mishum Chilos. For instance, the Mishnah Berurah says, let's say I have a sefer that I left in shul from before yontif, right? And I'm worried that the sefer might get ruined or might get stolen.
Can't bring it home.
Why not?
It's just daiga.
Just daiga. It was there already from before. There was no hitiyah sofer mishum chilosah. There was no hotzor batchila to be matir the hotzor basof. Right? That's hitiyah sofer mishum chilosah. And even though the Gemara has this principle in a number of places, and the Gemara applies it all, it's always applied by dinim derabonim, by isurim derabonim. So there you can say heimamru veheimamru, and over here we're dealing with an issa deraisa of haitzor an yantar, but the pshat in hitiyah sofer mishum chilosan is that the soul is not muta because of daiga, the soul is muta because of the sorech batchila. The tzorah v'otzor, I need to get that talis or that lulav and esrog to shul, right? I need to get it to shul, but I'm not going to bring it to shul, right? If I can't bring it home because I'm afraid it'll get ruined. So therefore, the heter of carrying it back is based on the heter of carrying it there in the first place. That's the tzorah for mishum chilos. That doesn't apply by the case of the key or the case of the sefer, the machzor that was in shul already. Unless I can only take a machzor home, right? That a machzor that was left in shul from before yontif, and I'm afraid I can't take it home because I'm afraid something will happen to it. Only if I want to use it, if there's a tzorah for me to use it at home, so then I'm allowed to take it home. But if I take it to shul in the first place and I'm afraid to leave it there, so then I have a heter to bring it home. Yes.
Okay.
How much use do you say you need to have to clean my parents?
How much what?
How much use? Like, let's say, like, you have a Daigo, you bring it home and you'll, like, learn all about the Flemish Sefer when you get home. Is that like
that's I think that's enough of a use. As long as you're not just opening up the page and closing it. You know, you're sitting, you're learning something, you're singing Zmiris from it, right? That's enough of the use. In fact,
in Harama, you want to learn what the
it's not
you don't really want
to
drop. If you say enough, I really don't want to learn. I don't have time to learn it, but I know I can't think of that as I do. So I'll go home and I'll learn.
It's a good question.
Because there you are making like a kavana, kind of. Like as opposed to just stomp, I'll take it and I'll assume I'll learn, but maybe you don't learn that much.
Well, you have to have kavanah to actually use it. How much do you have to use it? And do I have, let's say, I'm making up this kavanah to use it?
That's
no,
right.
I really wouldn't. I don't know. I have to look into that. But it's interesting. The post is point out. Let's say you bring your lulav and esrog to shul on Yom Tov, right? So everyone brings it home. Very rare that people leave it in shul, right? Even though they're going to dive in the same shul. So you can't bring home something if your whole kavanah is you're really not afraid that anything will happen to it, anything will happen to your talis. You brought the talis to shul A because you're diving there on the first day of Yom Tov, but you want to dive in shul B on the second day of Yom Tov. So I'm bringing my talis home for the second day, you're not going to carry first day for the second day, right? That's like carrying the Yom Tov L'chol, because Yom Tov first day is the Raisa, second day is the Rabbanan, me the Raisa, it's really chol, so you can't carry it. That's your kavon, so you can't do that unless you're gonna use it when you bring it home. Your wife is gonna bench on the lulav and esrog. As far as the talis, it's a little bit more difficult. What are you gonna do? Right, you want to daven in a different shul the next day, so you carry your talis home from shul on the first day, right? And you're going to wear your talis by the suda, right? You're going to put on your talis. You're putting on your talis for a half hour. I don't know. I don't know if there's a heter on that. You would never do it, right? You would never do it. You're only doing it in order to be matir, carrying it home so that I'm not sure about that. But the lulav and esrog. Certainly you can take home because you're afraid it'll get ruined. It'll dry out. If the kids might play with it, it'll get ruined. So you have that diet. You would not bring it in the first place if you wouldn't be able to return. That's the Hitiru Sofon Mishum Tchiloso. Yeah. Let me just finish this about the little this. That's why I started. So let's say this is a scenario that occurs very often, right? You daven in shul on first day Yom Tov, you bring your little Vanessa to shul. And then you're going out for lunch, for the suda. You're eating, you're not going home. You're going straight to your host for the suda. You bring your lulav and esrog along and you leave it by your host, and if you put it down in your host's house. Over there it's already safe. Right? There it's already safe. Then after the suda you go home. Can you take your lulav and esrog home from the host? Can you do that?
Well, if they have little kids also.
No, it's safe.
Okay.
It's okay. It's a scenario that's safe.
So
you're not worried. What?
Everything's so fun.
If
you knew that you were going to have to leave it somewhere else, then you're not going to have it available the next day. You might not have wanted to take it to shul to begin with. If you're going to have to leave it at your friend's house.
It might depend. That might depend. If your friend's house is very far away, right, very far away, and it'll be a big tircha, maybe you're right. But let's say he's two blocks away. So right after,
determine if you wouldn't have taken it under those circumstances.
Yeah, okay.
If you would have taken it.
But in many scenarios, it's not going to deter you from taking it to shul, right? The fact that you have to drop it off at your friend's house where you're eating the suda, right? And you'll leave it there till after Yom Tov. Let's say it's the second day Yom Tov. Second day. So right after Yom Tov, you'll go drive over and you'll pick it up. You'll pick up the Luvanessa. What's the big tircha? It's not going to deter you from doing that. So there's no hitira sofa mishum chilosa. Because you don't have, when you go to the friend's house, you don't have the daiga. Leaving it in shul, you have a daiga. But in the friend's house, you don't have the daiga, you'll get ruined. I, instead of drying out, let's say, in the friend's house, he'll put it in a place where he'll put the lulav in water, so that it's not right. It's not going to dry.
Doesn't there one at the end add that if there's an Arab, then you can carry your shul?
that's a whole different shayla about if you have an eruv.
Yeah, the general.
If you have an eruv, then of course there's
an important clarification for a lot of my
friends. There are still some cities in the world that don't have eruv.
Really? Where?
There are still some people who don't use eruv. We know that. So we're talking when there's no
interest.
No way. Yes, yeah.
I'm not sure, you may have said this before, but you said that if you need the tassim, if you want to have a different shul, that could be problematic because you're preparing for the next day.
Right.
Can you
It's not just hachonah. You're doing molocha from the first day of Yom Tov to the second day of Yom Tov. There's no hetter. That's like oisem Yom Tov l'chol, right? So that's also to do without hoyo, right? Without a hoyo, so it's going to be off. And even with a hoyo, it's still off. There's just no malchus. Yes.
So would you be able to just like wear your talus home and then carry the bag? You need to put your talus on.
No. You can wear the talus home. You can wear, but not carry the bag.
Where do you put the talus when you get home? Like I
wear my talus home on Shabbos. I wear it home on Yom Tov. I wear it home. I put it down on the couch. to last the Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? So then, so there's no have to do, but you can wear it home, for sure. Yeah.
I always say in general that you have, like, instead of saying you should be able to take it just so far as the first place you can drop it off and feel safe about it, not worry about it. I always say in general, like, okay, so if your friend's house is, like, let's say on the way home, so you shouldn't carry it anymore, then you
mm-hmm.
have to.
Uh-huh. That's a good question. Good question. So if you have right outside a shul, you have a friend, right? So just drop it off in his house.
So you have to go out of your way to do that.
I've never seen anybody say that you have to. You have to minimize the chitzor based on hitirosof and mishum chilosan. Once you have the heter, you have the heter. Except when you're going to the friend's house
and
now you're putting it down and it's safe over there, so then your sort of ends.
Right, you put a sock on it, I
accomplished my purpose, right? And now it's going to be safe. Right, but to say that I have to find the closest house to the shul and leave it there, Chazal gave a heta, and they said the heta for you to bring it home, right? Once you have that heta, Ritzor, this cell phone, Mishum Chilos, and that's going to be moved. All of these are good questions because this is not so clear on all of these issues. Yes.
Can it just be also that we can't necessarily assume that we'll be able to leave it there? You can't assume that your friend will want everyone to leave in their room and in his house.
That's a test. That's how you know. He's your friend. He's not everyone else's friend. That's how you know. there are another few halachas that are very important. The Orech HaShulchan. Orech HaShulchan, in discussing them, the Ramah says you're allowed to carry out bishum daiga, that you're afraid it'll get stolen, right? And the Orech HaShulchan asks a kasha on the Ramah from the Yushalmi and the Goinim that the Rosh quotes. And you see from the Yushalmi, how could the Ramah say that? The Yushalmi says that you're not allowed to carry out a mafteach shel kelim because of daiga. Mafteach shel oichel nefesh you're allowed to, because that's a tzorech oichel nefesh, but not a mafteach shel kelim. And the goyim also answer the mafteach shel kelim. So how can the Ramah say that? He's going against the Yerushalmi. But then he turns the question around and he says, Misvora, the Ramah is right. The Ramah is correct. Right? Why shouldn't this be considered to be a tzorech oichel? So we discussed it at great length. Tzorech chiyuvi, tzorech shlili, right? But the Orech HaShulchan asks, Mitzvah, if you're going to have Tsar and Daiga, right, it's going to be Monei Yosimchas Yontes, so that should be that should be considered to be a tzarech hayayim kitzas. And therefore, the Orech HaShulchan, Kidarkoi, Orech HaShulchan always is very innovative and very original in his interpretation. So the Orech HaShulchan says, the emes, it is mutter to carry out mishum, the daiga of hefzid momin, that is considered to be a tzarech hayayim kitzas. Right? When the Yushalmi and the Goyim said that you're not allowed to carry out a mafteach shel mos, a mafteach shel keli, that you don't really need, they're talking about that you're carrying it b'farhesya. Everyone sees you carrying it, right? And it's an uvda d'chol. It's considered to be an uvda d'chol.
What?
No, because it's the rowing, people will see and they'll perceive it as you're carrying out the mafteach shel kelim. It's not a mafteach shel mos. It's not it's considered to be like an uvda d'chol, and that's why by a mafteach, it's dafka by something like a mafteach where the people will perceive it. And say, what are you doing? Why are you carrying this? It's not a tzorech yontiv.
The opposite of what we learned before. The yadehem, some of the early ones tried to say that dafka yadehem, even for ochel, you can't put it on a chain. But instead of the yadehem, he holds yadehem is a problem.
Yadehem is a problem because people see.
Right.
People will see if you're carrying out
the
yadayim. The yodayim, and people will see, and they'll perceive. What are you doing? You're doing something with tzarech chol.
The earlier sources for yodayim is not a problem,
okay,
but it's a solution.
Solution
was yodayim.
The Orech HaShulchan. So the Orech HaShulchan brings down, and he brings down the goyim, that the goyim said that you're not allowed to have a keychain, right? With a whole set of keys, even though you have some keys on there that you might need. Right, you might need on yontiv because there's already that's like an uvda d'chol. You're wearing it shuas be'ezoreim on your belt. I guess he means like we see people have a whole keychain that they wear on their belt. He says that's an uvda d'chol. The Yushari was only answering because where it's a case of uvda d'chol, you're doing it in such a manner. But otherwise, mitzad the tzoyrech of daiga. To be moneya, that dying is the Orech HaShulchan says. That's considered to be a tzarech hayayim ksas. So he's mati. The Orech HaShulchan paskins against
the
other
ones, they're not good markets for it.
What?
The ones who hold differently wouldn't give markets to it, only a whole.
Oh, yeah, of course not. Yeah.
The
way he's learning that it is a tzarech hayayim ksas. So mitzad the malacha hoitzo. It's not going to be a problem. It's only a problem where there's going to be an issue of uvda d'chol, and that's why he says that by let's say kelim reikonim, you're carrying out empty vessels. So the Tosefta says the machlokes beishamim beitzilim, right? Machlokes beishamim beitzilim. So he says beitzilim is mati. What happened to uvda d'chol? It's not uvda d'chol. People don't know why you're carrying out this empty vessel, this empty pot. Maybe you're going to carry it out. For people will assume you're having to fill it up with food. So there is no uvda d'chol over there. But the case of the mafteach, right, a case which is defined as uvda d'chol, that's when the Yushalmi said that it's going to be us.
Wasn't there a chilka between Caleb, between if it's mafteach shel ochel and mafteach shel keli? How does anyone know if they're looking at it? How do they know?
He doesn't really explain that, but I guess they had, there were different kinds of keys. And people would be able to recognize that this is a key of mafteach shel keli, you know, a key to a safe, right, or a key to a pantry. I guess there are different kinds of keys. They're just by looking at it, you can tell the difference.
Nowadays,
maybe not, but people usually don't carry keys in their hands, right? They put it in their pocket. So
they do have keychains. They do have people who have this.
What?
They have people who have this massive keychain.
Right. The keychains. Right. So that would be an uvda d'chol. Okay. So that's the pesach of the Orech HaShulchan. It could be, and the Orech HaShulchan says that the ha'olam noagim heta kaharima. Right. That the minhag ha'olam is like the rima. to be mata, not like the Mishnah Berurah. We have a major machlokes here, halacha lemaisa, between the Mishnah Berurah, right? Taz and Mishnah Berurah against the Aruch HaShulchan, right? Mishnah Berurah says we have to be machmir, like the Yamshel Shlomo and the Taz, that if you're only carrying out bishum daiga, it's going to be awesome. And the Aruch HaShulchan says no, it's absolutely muta, and that's the minog ha'olam. He said that seems to be the minog ha'olam. Einochanami, that people do that, but people don't really carry out on Yom Tov keys to safes or to closets. That we don't have that anymore. The key to the house, right, the house key. So that's already.
So that should be allowed based on the fact that there's ochel in the house anyways.
That there's ochel in the house, right?
Besides all the other kalim and
right
maos.
Right. So that's because if you're going to leave the house open, right, so the Gandalfi might come in and they might sit down and eat your Yontav meal. Right? Eat your Yontav meal. There's a cute story, just reminded, a cute story from Reb Chaim in Brisk. There was a professional ganav in Brisk. Everybody knew he was a ganav. And he was making a chasna. And everyone was afraid of him. Naturally, you understand why they were afraid of him. They wanted him on his good side. So he was making a chasna. He invited the whole town to the chasna. Everyone was invited. And the balabatim were, why he invited them. Yeah, because they'd be working. He had his men working during that. No. But everyone, they were afraid to go to the chasna. They came to Reb Chaim. They said, He's a god of how can we rely on his kashrus, right? How can we eat there, right? And he says that he's a choshud. Choshud on the neighbor, he's choshud on the kashrus. So Chaim said, I'll take care of it. Chaim said, I'll take care of it. So Chaim called over the god and he said, you're making a chasana, magultov. I have a few questions I want to ask you about your profession. About your profession. He said, everybody knows you're a ganav, right? You're a professional ganav. And I want to ask you some questions about how you ply your trade, right? You, when you break into a house, right, do you only break into the houses of Jews or even the houses of goyim? Right? He said, well, we should make a chilul between the Jew and the goyim. Yeah, certainly we break into the houses of the goyim. And he says, and he asks him, when you, if you break in, let's say, on a Shabbos, right, so how do you see anything? He says, well, it's part of our panos, we have to turn on the lights. We have to turn on the lights, you know. And he said, Chaimez, and let's say you're hungry and you're thirsty, right, will you take a drink or eat something, right? Yeah, you know, we need the strength to do our parnosa. Yeah, so. And then Reb Chaim asks, and tell me, when you break into the houses of goyim, will you eat from their food if you're hungry? He turned red in the face. How could the Rebbe be choishing me that I eat tarsis? Chas v'sholom. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so insulted. That I would eat tarsis. So Chaim came back and said, don't worry about the kashrus. Worry about your houses. Make sure that you lock your houses, but don't worry about the kashrus. So I wanted to tell that story. Something about has something to do with eating. Something to do with eating. Anyway.
So where do we pass this from between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah and Daida?
How do we paskin? Machlokes and Mishnah Berurah and Aruch HaShulchan. We're not going to be machriya that machlokes. We're not machriya that machlokes.
One should really be machne.
It's a shayla. This is a shayla of a possible issa d'oraisa. Possible issa d'oraisa. So one should really try to be machriya. Aruch HaShulchan says minu ga'olam is lekula. But somebody who knows the halachis and ben tayyib for sure should try to be master on that. Now there were two other issues that are brought up. One is brought up in the Mishnah Berurah, also a very interesting issue, halacha l'maaseh. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Yud quotes the Rashal that kelim which are shayach to'ichal nefesh, like knives, right, are you allowed to carry out a knife, not for protection, but for it's a knife to peel fruits, to cut foods. And so he says, if you already finished the su'udah and you're not going to need it anymore, so you're not allowed to carry it out into Rishos HaRavi or a Carmelis, right? We passed in, of course, a Carmelis, it's also to carry in a Carmelis on Yontif, right? The Taisus in Suvis, Tav Zayin. The Taz, however, is Mekel on this. The Taz says that to carry out a night after the su'udah, in the afternoon, where there's a chance that you might need it, there's a suffix that you might need it, so that's even though, you know, if you know for sure you're not going to need, you're going to shul, right? So you're not going to need a knife in shul, so then it's absolutely awesome. But if there's a suffix that you might need it, so then the Taz holds that you're allowed to carry it out. So what's the sort of the Taz? A suffix tzairich is also a tzairich. The fact that you might need it, that's considered to be a tzairich as well. And this has true. What?
Hoel.
What?
Hoel, you may need it later.
Yeah, but you see, hoel is not matir. When we say hoel the mikle eyorchim, or hoel that you might need it, that takes off the malchus. We haven't done the sugya of hoel, but there's still an issa. That we know from Erev Tashilin, right? What's the heter, just bikitzer, what's the heter of cooking on Yom Tov on Friday, on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, right? You're cooking from one day to the next. So the Gemara says, Hoyim, Mimikle or Chim Chazile, right? But that doesn't make him Mutta alone. It still remains also the Rabbanim. That's why you need the Erev Tashilin to take off the Issa Rabbanim. So there's still an Issa Rabbanim. We hold it's still an Issa Raisa, just no Malchus. But there's still an Issa based on her. But over here, what's the heter? That mitoch is matir. Based on mitoch, it's mutter. It's mutter lechatchila based on mitoch. So, but you need a tzarech hayom ketzas. So is this called the tzarech hayom ketzas, where you have a suffix whether you might need a knife? So the Taz, it would seem to be a machlokes between the Rashal and the Taz. Taz holds that a suffix tzarech. I don't know what degree, what percentage there has to be, if it's 1 in 100, 10%, I don't know if that's enough. Maybe it has to be a significant suffix that you might need it. So then that's considered to be a tzarech hayom ketzas. This has tremendous ramifications. We don't, not in terms of knives, but if a person wants to, let's say, it's a little bit cloudy, you want to carry out a raincoat on Yom Tov, you're going to visit somebody, right? And you don't want to wear the raincoat because it's not raining now. But you have a chashash that it might start raining, so you want to carry out the raincoat. Do you have a vadei tzarech now? No. Suffix. If it's sunny outside, there's no heter to carry out a raincoat because you're worried that maybe it'll get cloudy and it'll rain. No, that's not enough. That's not a suffix. But if there's a suffix because it's cloudy and there's a 50% chance of rain, right, but now it's not raining, so according to the Taz, you'd be allowed to carry out the raincoat on Yom Tov. Right? Very important
Taz.
The Marshal wouldn't let
you?
The Marshal, he doesn't talk about it, but the Taz seems to say that I'm choilik on the Marshal, that the Marshal doesn't allow carrying out the knives, because even though there might be a suffix, a tzoyref, and the Taz argues on the Rashal, on the Marshal, and he says, no, it's a suffix, tzoyref, that's going to be mutter. So this has ramifications in terms of raincoats, in terms of diapers, carrying out diapers for a baby, right? And so you might need the diaper, you know, how many diapers, that will get into Rebbe Shiurim, but it's a very, very important Taz, and Mishnah Berurah Paskins like that Taz. And finally, I found in this little kuntris, Shmuel Felder from Lakewood. He's one of the poskim in Lakewood. A very excellent. He's shiurim are excellent. Very comprehensive. And so he wrote a little kuntris that my son brought me from Lakewood on Hilchos Yom Tov. And he said something. You don't think about these things, but Lamaise, If a person has things in his pocket, in his suit pocket, that there's no tzorich at all for yontif, let's say you have a piece of paper with an address on it that you don't need on yontif at all, are you allowed to go out with those things in your pocket?
Dirty tissues.
What? Dirty tissues?
Without the Arab.
What?
There's no Arab.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got to get myself in the mindset.
You have to get in the mindset.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking, Shulchan Aruch is talking without an Arab. Right?
Misafik.
What?
Probably misafik.
Yeah, but let's say you know you have tissues. You know it. Do you have to remove them before you go in?
Yeah.
So he said, yeah.
Because
if that would be a shaloi l'tzorech klal.
Yeah.
Right? Shaloi l'tzorech klal. Clean tissues that you might need, that's a tzorech. Right? You might need that. It's a sofek. Maybe you'll need the tissues. So that's enough of a sofek that you would be allowed to have. But dirty tissues that you're not going to use. Right? So that's shaloi l'tzorech klal. We paskin that you need a tzorech hayem kitzas. Right? We don't. And even according to Rashi Shita, right? If you hold that midrabanan, every shalom b'tzara klal is going to be also midrabanan. So then this was midrabanan. So really, l'chayru, a person should check his pocket. Just like before you go out on Shabbos, you check your pockets. L'chayru, you should check your pockets before you go out on Yom Tov. Certainly, if you have money in your pocket. Right? You have money. Sometimes you wear your Shabbos suit, your Yom Tov suit. You wear it to a chasna, right? And you put money in your pocket, and then on Yom Tov you're wearing it. Shabbos and Yom Tov you're wearing. Put your hand in your pocket, you discover there's money in there, right? So you really should check your pockets before. What?
You're
misafik. Okay, misafik doesn't mean that it's not an aveira. And certainly, if you know about it, you know you have the tissues in there. So then you have to remove that shalom l'tzorech klal. So this is something that people don't even think about. You know why? Because the mindset of people is hoitzor is mutter on yontif.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board. It's like Einei Ruva Hoitzor beyontif, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their mindset is like that sheet in the Gemara, Einei Ruva Hoitzor. So we've seen that's not true at all, right? Hoitzor is only mutter on yontif based on yitoich. And mitoich is a complicated issue. What's considered to be a tzorech? You need a tzorech, right? And therefore, you have to. And anything which is shaloi with tzorech klal, you have to remove from your pockets when you go out on yontif.
But that's a
blue
button
that's on
the shirt.
No, so that's a Shabbos shayla, and we paskin lahalocha that the reserve buttons are not considered to be haitzah. Any reserve button, it's bottled to the bank. So that's even on Shabbos, that's
what I was going to say. So if in the case scenario where it's on Yom Tov and Noir, and you notice, like, whatever, in the middle of walking home.
Yeah.
So you should just take it out right then. It's automatically mukta, no matter what?
Well, Shmuel Felder says that you find it in your pocket as you're walking, just like on Shabbos, you should throw it down there at Shimon.
It's mukta, like, across the board, whatever
it
would be.
Well, it depends.
Well,
whether
okay.
Or not.
Well, that's the thing. Like, what if it's, like, I don't know, a business transaction note that would be very, very important? For, like, so if you were to get rid of it, you know, if you were to.
So then you have, it's the same status as you would have on Shabbos when you find something in your pocket. What do you do on Shabbos? If it's very important, very valuable, so there's a whole set of halachos on Shabbos. Do you have to throw it down in the middle of the street, or can you just continue walking without stopping, and then you go into a bayis, right? You go home, turn around, and go. So very complicated halachos what you do. But if it's a tissue that you find,
right?
Take it out. So
take it out.
Derech shinui, right? Just like drop it. Drop it on Derech Shinui, so because there's an issur to carry it.
About the environment.
No, the biodegradable tissues are fine.
Okay, we didn't get to the Rambam today, but tomorrow we'll do the Rambam.
There actually was a case where someone actually was found in someone's house recently, not so long ago, in New Jersey. Some guy just was like eating in the guy's house for like 5 days because they were on vacation.
They were on vacation.
Wow.
You mean he broke in?
Yeah, he broke in. He lived there
for
5 days and they found him. It was like a Goldilocks story.
Three days.
Yeah.
Three days, sleeping in the bed.
Yeah.
He slept in the bed.
Nice. Very, very common in Corcoran.